So we're going to discuss first, we're going to discuss Hilchos Shabbos related to Cholim, right? Cholim, sick people. So, Halacha recognizes that there are different levels of sickness, which makes sense. And therefore, people qualify as different types of Cholim depending on the type of sickness that they have. And what we can, must, or should do for them on Shabbos is going to depend on how sick they really are, which sort of makes sense. So the first level of chola is a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Chola is a sick person, sheyesh bo, who has a sakana, a danger. So his sickness is a danger to life, right? The danger here is death, okay? He could die, right? And so we're pretty much going to do anything we can to save this person's life, right? Generally in halacha, we will always say that people have saving someone's life trumps everything else, except for three things. What are the three things first? Three things we don't do to save someone's life. Right, murder, idolatry, and gilui arayos, illicit relationships. Shabbos is not on that list. So we will violate Shabbos to save someone's life. How we'll go about doing that, we'll talk about extensively, but in general, Shabbos is going to be put aside to save someone's life. Yeah?
We're only talking about Jews.
We are talking about Jews, yes. We will have a shiur or two on Shomer Shabbos residencies where we will be talking about how we relate to non-Jews on Shabbos. But we're talking about Jewish patients and Jewish people doing the malacha on Shabbos to save them. Okay? So you have a cholos yesh bo sakana, and we have a sick person who there is no danger to his life. He's just sick. Okay? So he's a chola. He's sick. But he's not, whatever he has is not dangerous to his life. You have a broken arm, it's in the cast. You might be sick, it's not dangerous to life. You have a migraine headache. So it's debilitating. I don't know if anyone gets migraines. It's quite debilitating. You have to lay in bed, right? I get that. You have to start to lay in bed and close your eyes and not hear any noise. But like, I mean, I'm not going to die. It's just really annoying. So I may be considered a chola she'in bo sakana. So we're going to go through the theoretics at first, and then we'll try to plug in different types of actual diseases and illnesses that people have to try to figure out. Yeah?
Is there any concept in halacha of like switching from one status to the next within like a day?
Mm-hmm.
What
do you mean?
Like that someone who's right now she'in bo sakana, that they can become, like because of the science back then, I thought maybe that they didn't really understand like the transition of disease from like, you know, non-life-threatening to like life-threatening situation.
So how we determine whether he's sakana or what the level of sakana is and how they did versus how they did, we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. But certainly if you start off as a chol she'in bo sakana, it doesn't mean that something different may happen that puts you a chol she'in bo sakana. You can get hit by a car. You know, unfortunately, then you got to be transferred to the hospital. Or it could be that the disease just got worse.
Right.
You know, like someone has asthma, and so, you know, they woke up with a little bit of a cough. Maybe they're cholos, maybe or maybe not, they're cholos she'in bo sakana, and they take their inhaler. And then they just develop into a coughing fit and can't breathe. So, like, they may be cholos yesh bo sakana at this point if they can't breathe. You know, the illness could develop over Shabbos, or something different can happen, but you definitely can go from one to the other. They're mutually exclusive because you can only be one or the other, but you can switch. So what about a cholos she'in bo sakana, you know, who's now stabilized in the hospital? Maybe he becomes a cholos she'in bo sakana, right? Maybe the sakana had passed. You know, after you give the guy a nebulizer, right, for his asthma. You know what a nebulizer is? Right, asthma is like the puffer you can puff for asthma, right? Different types of bronchodilators. Sometimes you need a nebulizer. It's like a machine that can give you a much higher concentration of medicine. You sit there and you breathe it in. And after a little bit, so it passes. So what's your status now? It doesn't seem like yesh bo sakana anymore, right? The sakana seems to have passed. But you may be sick. So they are fluid over Shabbos throughout the day. So also there's a big discussion about how many categories we're going to have. So this is how I was always taught. This is how I was always taught things, and I'll tell you how other people disagree. So this is how Rav Shechter, my Rulig, always said over that there are three types of illnesses on Shabbos, and the third one is a mechush dam. Mechus is a feeling ba'alma, like in the world. Meaning like, it's a bad feeling, you're not feeling well. The difference is, one's called a chol, the second level is called the chola, and this one's a mechush. Right? This is not as severe as this. That's clear. What is a mechush and what is a cholos emos akana, we'll have to discuss. But suffice to say that a mechush is a lower level than a cholos emos akana. Yeah?
Is that term, where's that term from? Mechush
ba'alma?
Is that term
from? The
Gemara uses
it. Yeah. Anyway, that's why it's in Aramaic. Whereas cholos emos akana is not in Aramaic.
Right. But those are also, like, I mean, those are old terms.
Yeah, they're all from the Gemara, the second one from the Mishnah, one was in Aramaic, one was in Hebrew. But, right, so a mechush ba'alma is someone who is not feeling well, but is not considered a cholos ein bo sakana. Cholos ein bo sakana is someone, remember, who is not a risk to life. Okay? A mechush ba'alma is less than that. So there are other categories that fit in here also. So I was always thought there are three levels of cholam ha'chavis, and that's the way it is. So there's one other level that everyone agrees to. So cholos yesh bo sakana, I said before, what's a sakana? I said the sakana is death. Right? So that seems to be so... death. Okay. So could there be other types of sakana? So the Gemara is a little bit unclear. But the Rishonim are pretty clear that there's two different types of sakana. We can differentiate another type of sakana. There could be something called a sakana's aver. It's a danger to a limb, right? It's not danger to, not like life and limb. So it's not danger to life, it's danger to a limb. Okay, so what does that mean, danger to a limb? We'll talk about that a lot, but like, so either your limb will be cut off, that's a danger to a limb. Generally, when limbs are severed, so you have a danger to life also, right? So this is someone who has so that's not the case. This is someone who has a danger to a limb, but not danger to life, right? Because once he has danger to life, he'll be called Shiyesh Pasakar. So does such a thing exist even today? Because like we're very careful about things. We're very nervous and like blood loss and like, could you have such a sakanas aver today nowadays when we're like very careful about all these things? We'll see. But there is something called sakanas aver, which is above a cholos emos sakana. Right? Something is happening to his limb at risk of losing or of malfunctioning or not functioning properly. We'll discuss it. But something is going on with this guy and it's not so good. Okay? So that's how I was always taught that, but he's really a cholos ein bo sakana. It depends how you define sakana, right? If sakana is danger to life, he has no danger to life. Right? So he's below cholos ein bo sakana. So that's how I was always taught that there are these three categories, and category two has this second option of sakana seir. So other achronim we'll see will define some other states. Some of them have something called a miktas holy. You're a little bit sick. Or tsar gadol, it's a big suffering, right? Translated, you know, literally. And those may or may not be steps in between cholos ein bo sakana or mechush ba'alma, which we'll see as we go on. But just to be clear, just so if you see these terms in Sfarim, so like Shmir Shabbos has discussed Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa, discusses the category of miktas holy. So what's how do you know what a miktas holy? What a mechush? It's getting now. Once we're going to define, you know, illnesses, it's going to be hard to know what is what. So actually, let's just try to put some examples down, so it comes a little bit more real. So what would be a cholos yesh bo sakana? Anyone examples of a cholos yesh bo sakana? So, A what? A gun wound. So let's just say trauma. Right? Any trauma could be a potentially cholos yesh bo sakana, right?
So this person needs to be rushed to the emergency room.
Cancer.
Is it the terminal stage cancer, I guess.
Interesting, okay. So that's an interesting question, right? Because the difference between trauma and terminal cancer is, well, how would you differentiate between them? Or would you? What would you say?
Trauma is something that could damage, it would be life-threatening. Now, whereas cancer is unpredictable.
What do you mean?
Cancer in terminal stage can last for quite a while, as opposed to somebody who died by a car or a shot or something or another. That's an active problem now. It happens if you're not bleeding like you don't today.
Okay, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be saying the same thing as you, but let me know. You're saying, well, look, the guy in the trauma needs to be treated right now. He's dying right this instant. Like, if I don't treat him, he's going to die right now. right? And the cancer patient may or may not, he's not going to die, we're pretty sure he's not going to die today. Right? We're pretty sure he won't die today. Right? Is that your, I don't know if you're, maybe your basic cancer patient is dying today, but let's talk about cancer patient who's not dying today. We'll talk about cancer patient who's dying today in a minute. But let's say it's a cancer patient who, like, he has 3 months, he was told he has 3 months. So are we expert? We know exactly it'll be 3 months. We don't know exactly. Could he die today? He could die today. Everyone could die today. We don't really think it's going to happen. So the cancer patient has this illness that is going to kill him, right? Maybe if we treat it, he might not. But he's not dying today. So is there a difference? Okay, so let's
leave with the questions. Do you need to be dying today? Because today we're going to try to discuss Falashi Shmosakam. So that's going to be one of the questions. Well, no, you have to be dying today. Meaning, barring my intervention, will you be dead before Shabbos is out?
Yeah?
This is also sort of sticking with the terminal cancer thing. But like, can you call him like a trefa or something?
Can you call him a trefa?
Like,
what do you mean?
Do we want to like talk about trefas with people?
Yes, it does.
Does it equate that to like Falashi Shmosakam? I mean, that's what answers the question.
No, I'm just thinking the answer to the question and I'll elaborate on it. I'm not sure. So a trefa, let's just, maybe okay. Saying it out will help.
Yeah,
no, it's fine. A trefa, right, the word tref means not kosher, right? So it doesn't really mean not kosher. Tref in and maybe in Yiddish it means not kosher. But tref in halachic means that something happened to this animal. Something is wrong with this animal. It has a hole in its lung. Now it's standing in front of me. It's alive, right? But it has a hole in its lung. It's, you know, not the happiest animal, but it's walking around. Doing its thing. And then I shecht it properly. I do proper shechita on this animal, and I find that it has a hole in its lung. That's called a trefa, and the animal's forbidden to be eaten. That's different from an animal that was shechted improperly. An animal that was shechted improperly, that was shot, or was just shechted improperly, is called an avela. So the difference is, in terms of tum and tara, not relevant. But a trefa is an animal that has some anatomical defect. Something's wrong with it, right, on the inside. And because of that, it's not going to be, it's sick. Whatever that means, and we therefore cannot eat it. It's considered trade. It's considered not kosher even after it's shechted. So the trefas of animals are a little bit different because we assume that the Chazal told us what the trefas of animals are, and you can't add to that list and you can't subtract. So meaning there may be other illnesses that can happen to an animal that may kill it, but it wouldn't make it a trefa. And there are certain things that in times of Chazal likely did kill animals, but today don't. But they're still considered a trefa. So one big issue with this is cows sometimes collect gas in their ovum mesum, I think. Cows have four stomachs? Yeah, heard of this, right? They chew their cud, four stomachs. So one of them sometimes there's a lot of gas, and it's uncomfortable for the cow. Whatever that means. Or it's not good health-wise for the cow, and it seems to be uncomfortable. So how do you get rid of gas in an inside of the stomach of a cow? So in more Hamish places, in like Amish farms and stuff, they like knock the cow on the floor, and sometimes that helps. So you can put the cow upside down, maybe let the gas out, because the gas so it flows. More traditionally, it's left displaced abomasum. LDA, I think it's called. Either lateral or left displaced abomasum. So what you do is you stick a needle in, then you just take out the gas. Right? It's not a big deal. The problem is when you stick a needle into the stomach, it's a nekev, it's a hole in the nameyim, in the intestines, which makes the animal a trefa. Right? Now, we're doing this to cure the animal, right? We think this is going to promote life. But nonetheless, it might be a trefa. Because once the trefas were assigned by Chazal, then we assume that a trefa that was assigned by Chazal is always going to be a trefa, because for whatever reason, the Chaznesh writes that because these rules were codified at the time of Matan Torah, whatever was true at Matan Torah became a trefa then, and whatever changes today doesn't matter. So what we do today to treat the animal is actually makes it a trefa, so it becomes a problem. So the Gemara also assumes you have a trefa by a person. That a trefa by a person is a person with, excuse me, some anatomical defect, something going on in him inside that's bad, that will cause him to die soon.
Within 12 months.
So we assume within 12 months, that's from a different discussion, based upon trefa and animal, we'll assume that someone's going to die within 12 months because of something bad happening to him inside, that's some anatomical defect. Now, not everyone who dies is a trefa, but is a trefa. So let's assume. All trefas are going to die. So is a trefa holds that yesh bo sakana? I would think so, right? He's going to die within 12 months. So I think that just hits the second question. So he's not dying today, he might not die within 3 months, he'll die within 12 months. Is that still considered a cholo sheyesh bo sakana? I don't know, we'll talk about it. Well, any other examples of cholo sheyesh bo sakana? Yeah.
Cause severe infection.
Severe infection. So you know, let me, you know what, I want to give one example for you. One example. What about diabetes? What's diabetes? Oh, diabetes. What's diabetes?
How close are they to
death? Two types of diabetes.
Type A diabetes. Type A is you.
One, two. Yeah. Okay.
Type one is my bad. Type one is that your body is not producing insulin, and type two is that you're resistant to insulin.
Yes. So what is insulin?
Sugar.
Right, you need sugar to live, and you need to have a certain level of it into your cells. So how does the sugar, how do you maintain, all cells need sugar all the time, and we always eat sugar. So how do you maintain a certain level? So this, we know how much, we assume that the cells have as much glucose, which is sugar, it's really glucose, all sugar has to be turned into glucose, not all. Most sugar has to be turned into glucose in order to be used effectively to make ATP, etc., etc., it doesn't matter. So we assume that we can regulate that by knowing what the glucose level in the blood is, that will regulate the glucose level in the cells. So insulin is the hormone that's made in your body that causes the cells to take up the glucose, right? The glucose doesn't just go into the cell, it needs to be transported, it needs to be, the cells need to know to take it up, and so the insulin causes it to do that. How does the cell know this? You just ate a meal, right? So the cells should be told, okay, now there's glucose available, start taking in glucose. So insulin secretes. So in type 1 diabetes, you don't make insulin. And so your body doesn't know, and so it's a big problem. Okay, so you can have big issues with that, with type 1. Type 2, and so that's what often called child-onset diabetes, right? Pediatric diabetes. Kids have that because you develop it early on. None of us born with it for whatever reason. All sorts of different reasons why your body never did or no longer produces insulin. Type 2 diabetes is the current epidemic in this country. It's related to obesity and the heart disease, and heart disease might be a ramification of it as opposed to a cause, and your body's making insulin, but you're making tons of it, your cells just aren't responding to it. They're responding a little bit, just not so well. So you're not taking up enough sugar, right? So that's not good. So we even have to give you more insulin, right? Because, hey, look, there's like a curve, right? So the body's giving, you're giving 10 units of insulin in the cells, like that's not enough for me to get excited about it. If you give me 20, maybe I'll get excited enough to take it in. So we can give you extra insulin. We could also try to make your cells more sensitive to get that insulin. And what if you're, say your blood glucose is messed up. So what happens when you have diabetes?
Your blood can have
it from too thick or too thin. No. Not a very thickness. Well, right, so what are the bad things that happen from diabetes?
Blood pressure.
Your blood pressure goes up. What else? Anyone know anyone with diabetes? People die from diabetes every day. Yeah, legs get swollen, right? But you know why? Okay, it doesn't matter. But your kidneys get shot. The diabetes really affects your kidneys, and they stop functioning properly.
Is it full of sugar?
There are lots of theories. We're not going to go into it. But your kidney—it's a big problem for your kidneys that your kidneys start. You can have diabetic nephropathy. It's actually a pathological condition that is associated with diabetes that happens to your kidneys. I honestly don't remember the histology of it. But it's bad. And your kidneys, so there in medicine, there are two schools of thought on life. You can either be cardiocentric or nephrocentric. I'm sure every other specialty thinks that their organ's the best. Like, is everything about the heart or everything about the kidneys? I probably didn't think about that, but people think that, your kidneys really control everything, like the heart. I'm a little bit biased. If I practiced, I always wanted to be a nephrologist, so I like the kidneys.
Is it like a brain-centric?
Yeah, so the brain, people think they're, But that's not so exciting. I'm biased towards the kidneys. But it doesn't matter. Anyway, the kidneys are really important. Okay? Maybe not the most important, they're really important. Our scroll is bochen kleios, right? The chol ma'aminichu bochen kleios. There's a reason for that. The point is, the kidneys are necessary to maintain blood pressure, to maintain blood volume, and so that's why when you have diabetes, uncontrolled diabetes, your blood pressure goes up, and you get swelling because your blood volume increases and you have nowhere to go. Diabetes also ruins your small arteries and arterioles and your capillaries, and you have bad circulation. As a result of having poor circulation, you can have heart attacks, very bad. Cardiovascular disease, very bad. Strokes. What else?
Wait, this ensues?
Not immediately. This is like over many, many years of uncontrolled diabetes, what it can cause. It's not like today, a person's glucose goes up, they can have a heart attack. And what else? There's one more thing that's really prevalent. Sort of mentioned last semester, but we didn't really. Right, so if you don't have any circulation going on, so it happens in the feet frequently, so there's no circulation in the feet, it's not as good, also gravity, right, there's a lot of pressure on the feet, the circulation doesn't go as well there, and so people develop infections. Really, really nasty infections because they can't clear them, because clear infections are having an immune system, and your immune cells come and they kill the bacteria, and you can't do that because you're not getting enough over there, and they get these terrible, horrible infections, and they need to have the toes, foot, leg amputated. Right, so a lot of amputations happen because of diabetes. It's very bad. Kidneys don't work also, so then you have to go on hemodialysis. It's really, 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 really bad. Right? Can't always prevent it. Sometimes it's a little bit, there's a genetic component to it. We're not sure exactly. We believe there's a genetic component to it. So, diabetes is bad. Okay? You don't want to have diabetes. Sometimes you have diabetes, and it could be that it's related to obesity. It could be that it's just a genetic component. It all goes together. Whatever. So let's say someone has diabetes. So how do you treat diabetes, you said? So either you can take pills, right?
If it's type 2, then
let's do type 2. Dieting is a way to, right, to treat it, but right now, dieting isn't going to lower your blood sugar. Right, so you should diet, you should exercise, and all these wonderful things. But right now, what do you do every day? You should diet and exercise every day. That's true. Good. I didn't think to mention that. We should mention it. Always important. Everyone should diet and exercise. You'll never find a doctor who tell you you shouldn't. So you should diet and exercise. And you'll take pills, right, that will either make you make more insulin or make your cells more sensitive. We're talking about taking pills on Shabbos. The other thing is you can give insulin. How do you get insulin? Anyone seen anyone take insulin ever? It's an injection, right? Or a pump. We'll talk about a pump after. Pump is fancy. Let's talk about simple people. So simple people inject insulin. It's subcutaneous, right? It means under the skin, underneath the cutaneous skin. You give an injection under the skin of insulin. How much insulin do you give? A little bit. Good, a little bit, not too much. Okay. Always safe, conservative, yeah.
Based on how high your blood sugar is
right now. How do you know how high your blood sugar is right now? If you don't have a monitor?
Test it.
You test it. How do you test it? I understand. Okay, how do you test it? You need blood, right? You need blood. You prick your finger. You put your finger on the glucometer, whatever, and it tells you your blood sugar, and then you can calculate how much insulin you need based on what your blood sugar is. Wonderful. So, all those things involve Chil Shabbos, right? Taking medicine is Chil Shabbos, injections are Chil Shabbos, drawing blood is Chil Shabbos, the glucometer, unless it's analog, I don't know any analog, glucometer is digital, is Chil Shabbos. Drawing the blood may be an Issur D'oraisa on Shabbos, right? So can you do these things on Shabbos? Because, look, if my blood glucose is in control today, say I'm not the worst diabetic. Some diabetics like can go into shock. If they don't control the blood sugar. Type 1 diabetics, more so than type 2. But let's say, look, his blood sugar is a little bit high, he's a little bit insensitive. Whatever, if he doesn't do it on Shabbos, he'll be fine. You know? So, is he a Cholos Yesh Masakana or not? What do you think?
Yes.
Why?
Because if he doesn't take medication, then
he could
actually die.
Yeah, but by now... I don't even know if he'll die, and he'll die, how many years from now? Still count or no? I'm just pushing your buttons. Don't take from my tone that you're right or wrong. I'm just trying to get an answer. Go for it. Yeah, what do you think?
I think that
you can guess.
It's effective. When somebody has high blood sugar for too long, it can damage cells.
Eventually, over time, cumulative, all these cumulative effects, that's a whole change for sarcoma? I agree with you. I'm just challenging you. It is like similar but different. Yeah.
Can it cause you to black out also?
Depends.
Yeah, so you can be like walking, you get like head trauma that can lead to a lot of.
Depends. It depends. So let's say someone who has a little bit, meaning it's not like pregnancy, you can be a little bit diabetic.
Right.
Right? But you're right. If someone's going to look. You know, if someone's so diabetic that we'll talk about something else. So let's say someone takes medication for diabetes and they can become hypoglycemic. Sometimes your blood glucose can go down too much because you took too much insulin. Happens all the time, right? So much so that when paramedics find someone down and they don't know why he's down, they give him sugar. because he could be just low glycemic glucose level, right? If they think he's a diabetic and he's on the floor, the likelihood is his blood sugar went too low because he's treating it, right? You miscalculated the insulin, you moved the syringe a little bit too much. So those type of people need so you can sometimes tell know it's about to happen, right? They can start feeling woozy and they know, and you can pop a sugar pill or a candy or something, right? So can such a person carry a sugar pill on Shabbos in the place of Zoyer? So maybe, we'll talk about it. Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of cigarettes and the way they can deteriorate life. So like, the way you consider cigarettes is to kind of be comparable to, you know, the nature of their sakana. So, and then in turn their chiyuv to either do these things on Shabbos or...
So maybe. Okay, I see what you're saying. We'll talk about that in a second. Yeah, what do you think? Diabetes, preventing diabetes on Shabbos. Or not?
I think it's
Shabbos. Why?
Because the treating of Shabbos, like if you don't treat it at all, you will lead to your death. So.
But I'll treat it after Shabbos.
Yeah, but then it's not going to have the same effect.
Right.
It's going to be worse.
Right, I'm with you. So I agree, and I think most people will agree. So I'm going to put diabetes, and type 1 almost certainly, but really type 2, which most people have, is that, look, the better you control your blood sugar, the longer you'll live. 35 years from now, you're right. We're talking about 35 years from now. But you'll live 35 and a half years, as opposed to 35 years. That's for those days for a That extra day is a sakana. And I can prevent it now. It doesn't have to, you don't have to prevent it right this minute. It doesn't have to be imminent death. Right, even death that's going to happen later is going to be right now.
So anything that shorten your life?
Anything that we have good reason to believe. Okay. Right? It can't be like, I don't know, this crazy thing might happen to me. No, the person has diabetes right now. He's treating a current condition. And this condition that he has right now...
It's a cola.
Well, he has a condition that makes him a cola, right? He feels fine. Right? He may feel fine. He may not feel sick at all, right? But he might be a cholesh yesh bo sakana. So, let's say someone is, right? Let's say he, so let me be better. So we have reason to believe this man has diabetes. And we know that diabetics will live, uncontrolled diabetics on average, I'm making this number up, will die 10 years earlier than they would have otherwise, had their blood sugar been normal. Completely made up number, I don't know what the number is. But we know it's shorter. And if we treat it, and we can keep it as close to as best as possible, he'll get that extra 10 years. So he's a cholesh yesh bo sakana right now, and we can treat it on Shabbos. Now the difference between a trauma victim and a diabetic patient is what? There are a lot of differences.
Time.
Right, so meaning what though?
One is like really gonna die now.
Right, and therefore the difference is, look, the guy's gonna die right now. You don't have to think about how you're going to deal with him. Just take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. Get him to the hospital as fast as possible. Whatever you do, every second counts. Right? Every second counts. We're going to set aside all of those shots for you. For the diabetic, look, he's had diabetes now for 3, 4, 5 years. He knows it's going to happen on Shabbos, right? He's not going to be like, oh my God, it's Shabbos. I have diabetes. I have to go to the hospital right this minute. You didn't go to the hospital yesterday. You don't have to go to the hospital today. Right? Maybe we can do things, maybe he has to do things, we'll talk about, to reduce the chilul Shabbos. He can plan, right? He has a chronic illness. He could plan to reduce the issues that are related to Shabbos. Maybe he could do something in a certain way that will be a less of a chilul Shabbos, or that won't be a chilul Shabbos. And he has to think about these things because, you know, he had this beforehand. So the difference is in timing, so we're always going to assume that someone who is in imminent life danger, as a general rule, someone who is in imminent life danger, you do whatever you can, you violate Shabbos, you violate Kashrus, you violate Yom Kippur to save this person. So last semester, I gave a midterm and a final. So it was different. But on the midterm and the final, you were absolutely required to know the number for Hatzalah. I'm going to put that on the board right now. So no matter what the day of the week is, because we're talking about saving lives on Shabbos, saving lives during the week, you should call Hatzalah. The number for Hatzalah in New York City, 212-230-1000. I'll put it on the board the day before I ask it on the quiz. Tell you, but just remember, and don't put it in your phone. Because what if it's Shabbos and you don't have your phone? It's not a hard number, it's important to remember. If someone's ever in imminent danger, I don't care what day of the week it is, you call Hatzalah. Okay? Call 911, call Hatzalah, call someone. Right? Imminent danger, we just do whatever is necessary without asking questions, it needs to be done. As long as you're not violating murder, idolatry, or giving our rights in the process, which is usually not going to be the case. And usually calling Hatzalah does not require any of those three violations. It's almost always going to be, I think I can say with 100% accuracy, you will never have a problem of one of these three issues calling Hatzalah. So, someone who's dying right now, clear as day, do whatever is necessary to save this person's life. Okay? Fine. So, cholos v'yesh mos takana, we're going to have this, right? I mean, trauma, terminal cancer, and diabetes is quite the spectrum. What about a cholos v'yesh mos takana? So let's leave out mitzvahs chol yitzar gadol. We're going to try to differentiate now just some examples of cholos v'yesh mos takana, bo sakana, and mechosh v'alma.
What about mental diseases? Do those come into play if they're like a danger to themselves?
Yeah, we'll talk about mental diseases. Mental illness. So there are various types of mental illness. So there's a DSM-4 diagnostic and statistical manual, there before, that lists all the mental illnesses that are recognized by the American Psychiatric somebody or other. APA, American Psychiatric Association, something like that. Some things in those are a real risk to life. Some things are not. So some folks can talk about, oh, this person has a mental disease, they're cholos v'yesh mos takana. So they may or may not be a cholos v'yesh mos takana. And why are they a cholos v'yesh mos takana? Are they a suicide risk? Are they at risk of suicide? And they might kill themselves? Which may or may not make them a cholos v'yesh mos takana. Or is the disease itself might kill them? Because, you know, he has a brain tumor and that's why he's hallucinating. And the hallucination might actually kill him. So you have to be done. Well, we'll talk about mental illness, but we're going to assume that I don't care what's causing this. If someone has something that is a cause to risk for their life, it's yesh mos takana. I don't care what it is, and I don't care what kind of doctor diagnosed it or what manual it's in. But not everything. Sometimes you see, like in Chris Moshe, and I'm surprised that, oh, this person has some psychiatric condition, they'll have a nervous breakdown, it's a cause yesh mos takana. So it could be, it could not be. I don't know. Not everything in the DSM-4. Qualifies as a cholos v'yesh mos takana. But there certainly are things that do. So we'll talk about that. Okay, so what about these last two categories? We'll just list things so we don't leave it hanging like this. What about a cholos v'yesh mos takana? So I said before migraines.
Stroke.
Oh, stroke. So migraines, let me just say, it's a cholos v'yesh mos takana. You're sick, you're confined to bed, it's uncomfortable. Strep throat, right? Streptococcal pharyngitis. So we go on this list, right? Strep throat.
Yeah, but can you die from that?
Yeah.
I think with a fever, isn't it some risk?
Can it get into your heart or something like that?
Well, you're saying different things though. Streptococcal pharyngitis, right? Strep throat, that's fine. Streptococcal relating to the strep bacteria, pharyngitis relating to your pharynx. So not everything with a fever you're gonna die from. Not everything with a fever is a cholos v'yesh mos takana. And then infections, before you said before, I got you off. So a strep throat is an infection. Not every infection you're going to die from either. If you have like an infection in your fingernail, probably not a cholos v'yesh mos takana. If you have a cardiac infection, right, that's really bad, you should be in the ICU. They're different levels, so it's hard to say. So strep throat. So I think I must have said this last semester. Did I say this last semester? It's one of my interests. I like this. So why do we treat strep throat?
Why do we?
What happens when you have, and I'm assuming everyone has had strep throat before, right? Your throat hurts,
bacteria.
And you get swollen glands, and you have a fever. Right? It's a bacteria, streptococcal pharynx, streptococcus bacteria. So what? So you have a bacteria. And in 7 to 10 days, it will go away. On average, in 7 to 10 days, you will be feeling fine.
Without treating it?
Without treating it. And with treating it, 7 to 10 days, you will be feeling fine. Maybe 5 to 7 days. Maybe 5 to 7 days. Maybe 3 to 5. In all likelihood, whether or not you do something, in approximately 5 to 7 days, you'll be fine. Okay? So why do we treat it?
Just in case.
Just in case what?
It'll get worse.
So if it gets worse, I'll deal with it. You come into the doctor, okay? You're the average strep throat patient. I've never been to the doctor. He said, you have strep throat, but don't worry about it. Always get medication. Right? So two reasons. First of all, you can transmit it to other people. So yes, they'll be fine in 7 to 10 days. It's still not comfortable. Okay. So does that allow fill shot? It depends what level of fill shot we're doing, right? What do you need to do to treat strep throat exactly? You have to
take a pill.
So right, to treat it, you just take a pill. So can you take a pill in Shabbos? We'll talk about it extensively. You need to just take a pill. What if you need to go to the pharmacy to get the pill? You need to do the test, right? There are two ways of testing strep. You have to actually do a test. We'll talk about it a little bit. So really why we treat strep throat is because it can cause heart disease. It can cause rheumatic heart disease. The same there's something on the bacteria that causes strep throat that your immune system recognizes that's similar to one something on your heart valves. And there's a chance that after your immune system kills off the strep, right, and you're fine, that those immune cells, right, so
we'll see your heart.
Immune cells have memory, right, which is why you get a vaccine. It has memory, right? Once your immune system sees something once, it remembers it, and the next time it sees it, it can attack it with a vengeance. So your immune cells has memory. And so it can get confused and think that your heart cells are streptococcal antigens. Whatever was on the streptococcus that is made the immune cells all excited. And then it can start attacking your heart valves. And you can get something called rheumatic heart disease.
So
rheumatic heart disease is a person with rheumatic heart disease is a cholestasis gauge plus second. Pretty much any heart disease is going to be a cholestasis gauge plus second, right? So a heart disease is very bad. We want to prevent rheumatic heart disease. Now, what's the likelihood of getting rheumatic heart disease from strep throat? Really low. But what's the cost here? Meaning, we're just giving someone, you know, either penicillin or amoxicillin. It's not amoxicillin. It's not a big deal. So we assume that it's worth giving everybody this just to prevent the rheumatic heart disease.
Doctors would rather have the antibiotic kill it than have our immune system.
Yeah, because the faster we kill it, then your immune system doesn't. You have to have, as long as you treat it within, I think, 10 days, as long as you start treatment within 10 days, studies have shown that you won't develop the rheumatic heart disease. Studies have also shown that children under 3 will not develop rheumatic heart disease from getting strep throat. So I had this conversation with my kid's pediatrician once about this, and they showed me a paper, and it's indeed true. They've never shown the case of a kid who has strep throat under the age 3 developing rheumatic heart disease as a result. So should you treat that person or not? So in my case, it was yes, because I have other kids who are younger, and me, and I can get it. So now I need to treat that person so I don't get it because I can develop rheumatic heart disease. Right? So we're preventing an illness that is geish bo sakana. Now the difference though, I would venture to say that a strep throat is a cholos geish bo sakana. Right? It can create a sakana years from now. It's not sure, it's a suffix, we'll talk about suffix. It's not unclear that you can prevent it. Now
you could say that any
well we know
if you work with that extent you can say that the majority of sicknesses are geish bo sakana.
Could be. Meaning, by the way, the only reason we treat strep throat is to prevent rheumatic heart. Meaning, everyone agrees that this is why we do it. So this is like, you're right, this is a good example, I think, because we actually know the disease is going to cause. So the issue is, though, like I said before, you have to treat it within 10 days. Right? So you have to start treatment within 10 days. So you're almost never going to have to start treatment on Shabbos. So you could avoid whatever needs to be done on Shabbos, maybe. Right? Because you can't be like, oh my god, I have strep throat, it's the 10th day, I really should have done something about it. Okay, in that situation, we'll have to figure it out. But usually this can be avoided, right? It's not exactly 10 days. It's like, you know, a couple hours here or there is going to change anything. So it's right before Shabbos, right after Shabbos, you can figure it out. So that's starting treatment and doing whatever is necessary. Let's assume that you need to do a chil Shabbos in order to test for strep throat. Let's just assume for a minute, so can you do that? The other issue is once you've started before Shabbos, you have to take antibiotics for strep throat for 10 days usually. So can you continue taking it on Shabbos? Because if you don't, it's not going to work. So we'll talk about that also. We're going to assume yes for now. But yeah.
What's the problem with taking an antibiotic on Shabbos again?
So you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. We didn't talk about it yet. There's a gzeira midrabanan on them. You're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Which we'll talk about. Why? Why can't you take medicine on Shabbos now?
Go over it.
No, no, but it is creative. You have to be creative.
Might,
yeah.
You might, because they used to grind it, mm-hmm.
You might come to grind it, right? It's exhilaration shchikat samemani. You'll be tochen. You'll grind your own medicine. And they were afraid that if you're sick, you'll grind your own medicine. And therefore, you're not allowed to grind your own medicine on Shabbos, because it's Nisidoraisa. So the Rabbanan made exhilar that you can't take medicine on Shabbos, because if we allow you to take medicine, you might come to grind your own medicine on Shabbos. Now, we'll talk about this, but that only applies to someone who's healthy. It's a gzeira midrabanan, it's a rabbinic enactment. So for kolos ein bo sakana, we're going to suspend that. Right? For chol shigeis masachan misis medevik, he can certainly take it. And we know that for, so, meaning, there's a fourth healthy, right? Someone who's healthy. Right? For a healthy person, and the mechus ba'alma, someone who's just not feeling perfect, he's not allowed to take medicine. A chol shigeis masachan ken. Right? So, as long as you're chol shigeis masachan, you're allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Question is, it's on your seventh day of treating strep throat, you would feel pretty good. Right? Hopefully. Hopefully nothing's wrong with you, and you're feeling fine, so can you take that medication or not? So, based on everything I said, you're going to say, absolutely, because if I don't take it, I can go with chronic heart disease. Right? You have to take a medication. Why do you have to take a medication for 10 days? Or whatever?
Keep the infection down, so it doesn't make a comeback.
Right, you have to, right? Because there's natural selection, right? Darwinism a little bit, but like it works in bacteria also. That I'm going to kill all the bacteria that are sick, are susceptible to this antibiotic. And if I stop, I give a chance. So there are going to be some bacteria there, a few of them, that won't be susceptible to my antibiotic. They aren't going to die. But if I knock out 98% of them with the drug, my immune system will take care of the other three. But let's say I stop the drug in the middle. So I'm giving, they grow in like colonies. They need like a heifer. So like, if you're giving the other guys a chance to prosper and like flourish, and then you can get an infection, you can reinfect yourself with bacteria now that are not going to be susceptible to your antibiotic. So you need to take it for the whole time. So if you don't take it for the whole time, you can develop a minor heart disease and it's going to be fine anyway. But we'll talk about other reasons why you can take continuously, you can take other medications on Shabbos if you started before Shabbos, whatever. Okay? So I don't want to put strep throat in, it's sort of in between, right? You're not really going to die, but you might die. Yeah.
What about a cold?
So cold, right? So cold is going to be, depends how bad the cold is.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what Amos kind of requires. A cold in bed might be a difference than I went to work with a cold. I went to work with a cold, it's probably going to be a mechosh ba'alma, and you won't be able to treat it on Shabbos. Allergies might be a mechosh ba'alma, you can't treat it on Shabbos, right? Depends how bad it is again. If like you can't get out of the bed because you can't stop sneezing, so you're incapacitated, that might be different. For most average allergies, let's say, maybe it'll be something it'll be below follows aim second. Okay? Whether it'll be a mechus foliar to our gadol or mechus ba'alma, and they have different ramifications, we'll see. But it's going to be below this level, I think. For most people, yes, you can have a cold and be a cold shame. You certainly can. You can have a cold develop pneumonia, and your cold change for second. But for most people, I think a cold is able second. Or below able second. Yeah.
Isn't a cold a virus and everything?
Well, you can't treat it, right? You have nothing to treat, but you can treat your symptoms.
Yeah.
You can stop sneezing, stop coughing, right? You take a Sudafed or whatever.
What
but you're not really sick. I mean, you went to work. So how sick really are you?
Sick enough, right?
To take Sudafed. But you went to work. So like, I mean, it depends on your cold. If you're so incapacitated, so it's different. But I think most people's colds or like sniffles, it's not going to be under cold shame or something. It's not comfortable. You're not perfectly healthy. I mean, the point is that under cold shame or something, you don't have to be perfectly healthy. Right? You could be not feeling well. So what about like acid reflux? Right, you know what acid reflux is, right? Some people get, you can get heartburn. What about heartburn? Is heartburn ein bo sakana?
No.
Mechus ba'alma?
Well, when I think
it destroy, it's amazing. Can it result in Barrett's esophagus? Barrett's esophagus is after many, 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 many years of reflux, it can eat away at the cells at the gastroesophageal junction and can turn them into cancerous esophagus cancer. So that happens rarely, and let's say you just have an endoscopy, you don't have any symptoms of Barrett's esophagus. You just have heartburn. So can you take Tums? I don't know. What about, so there are different ways of treating heartburn. I like heartburn because I have heartburn, so I thought about this. So there are different ways of treating heartburn, right? So it burns, so it's acid usually, so you can eat a base, right? Like chalk. If you ate chalk, you'd be fine. Otherwise known as Tums. Right? Tums comes with just different flavors. But it's just chalk. And you eat it and it absorbs the acid and you're fine. You can also take something, a pill before you eat to prevent the acid from being made. Right? So we'll talk about all these things, but so you have heartburn, can you eat the Tums on Shabbos? So I always thought this was a cholish, not a cholish, come on. Not a cholish in Basakana. It's just I have it. The way I have it. Chol she'ein bo sakana. Like, come on, it's annoying, it's uncomfortable. I'll be okay in a couple of minutes and I'll move on with life. I'm not, in bed. it's uncomfortable. So I always thought that. And so I thought you couldn't take Tums and Chagas. I thought you could take the pill before, we'll talk about why, but you couldn't take Tums.
Well, I'll say the opposite. I would think like something before, like you're not, you didn't get that sickness or whatever, and that would be much more problematic than taking something after you leave yourself.
Right, so we'll talk about this at length, but I said, why can't you take medicine on Shabbos? Because you may come to grind something, right? So Chazal thought that once you're sick, look, you're not feeling well, you're not thinking straight, you need medicine, you'll do something that you're not, if we allow you to take medicine, you may come to grind. But when you're perfectly, so some folks will say, yeah, but when you're perfectly healthy and nothing's wrong, you're not going to come to grind anything, right?
Most would say.
Yeah, so when you're healthy, maybe there's no problem to take a pill. When you're healthy, so before.
Because you're so
you want to, you're flustered. You want to treat your med, you're ill. You're not realize you're not cold chain plus a coming, right? Once you're cold, you still can't grind. Even the cold chain plus a coming can't grind. But let's say he has the medication ready from before Shabbos, so cold chain plus a coming can take it. So you're so flustered with your cold, you're frustrated, whatever. You're so flustered with your cold, frustrated with your cold that you may come to. We're concerned that you want the medicine and we're allowing you to take it, that you may come to grind something. Right? So they say, well, that doesn't apply if you're not flustered. You pop a pill in the morning. So maybe that would be okay. So Poskim say that. So I'll reference a bunch of different svarim during the semester. One of the newer svarim on medical halacha is Nishmas Avraham by Dr. Abraham Sofer Abraham in Israel. He is a British doctor. He doesn't speak English. But he lives in Israel. And was very close with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and other Poskim, so he has a lot of psychic from them. So I have an email correspondence with him sometimes, I met him a couple of times, so I was asking about it, and he thought that heartburn or reflux, especially reflux, like let's say you actually get food in your mouth, that is certainly a whole shame of psychotic and you can treat it on Shabbos. He thought that was so obvious to him, he didn't understand why I was arguing with him about it. So, halacha l'maaseh, it's a whole shame of psychotic, he thought that that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman thought, and so you could take the thumbs. You could also take it before. He didn't pill before, maybe for that reason, maybe for another reason. But he thought that was a whole shame of Sakana. So I guess we'll put reflux there too. So just in terms of Mechosh Balma, I would put a light cold, a light headache, and I mean light, just not, you're not incapacitated.
How do you define the difference between category 2 and 3?
2 and 3? We'll talk about it a lot. We'll talk about the seer on each one.
Like people get their sprains treated, like a
sprain. Okay, maybe sprains. Maybe broken bones might be different. We'll talk about it. Maybe broken bone is just a kind of saver. Sprain may or may not be. What if you don't know?
That might be like a
mechush on an aver, right? Okay, but we'll have to define what a sakana saver is. It's kind of defined very broadly, so it might work. Okay, so that's generally three categories. We're going to go through, maybe we'll stop for today in a minute, but we'll go through, these are just general examples so you can like work with it, so we have something to talk about, so it's not theoretical. We'll define whole shape kind of much easier to define. Right? There's a risk to health, to life. A certain risk, how much of a risk, we'll talk about. Like I said, look, rheumatic heart disease might be a risk. Right? There's also like diabetes, like you could sort of plan ahead, and you may have to plan ahead. Chol shema sakana, generally, we assume a person is incapacitated in some way. Right? It's not a risk to life, but he's incapacitated. And we'll discuss the difference between the Chol Shema and the Mechos Ba'alma. How these categories fit in the middle is very hard to know. And that's why many Poskim just think they don't exist. How you have a little bit of a choli, maybe a cold is a Mechos choli, and not a Mechos Ba'alma, and therefore you can do certain things, you can't do other things. We'll talk about that. But I just wanted to give an example so we can move on, and next time we'll define Chol Shema Sakana. We're going to have a whole bunch of shiur on Chol Shema Sakana. How do you define it? How immediate is the Sakana? How do you know if it's a Sakana or not? Right? So we'll just put one point, just because it's Lamaisa. So let's say someone falls to the ground, and you're a lawyer, right? Many years from now, not so many years from now, let's say, right? And you have no idea, is he Makom Sakana or not? You just don't, like, the Shabbos, so what do you do? You have no idea if he's Makom Sakana or not. So what should you do? But you think, you're like, I don't know, this looks bad. He looks like he had a heart attack. You're like, he had a heart attack.
Yeah,
why do you think he had a heart attack?
For the most extreme.
But you don't know. You don't know if he had a heart attack. So not only is it subject to heart attack, Dr. Abraham likes to say, he pointed out, look, the Shulchan Aruch was given to everybody. right? Not just doctors. It says, if you think there's a sakana, that's a sakana. Just we'll go through the details a little later. Just we should be clear. If you think there's a sakana, so there's a sakana. That's enough. The Torah was given to you to make that judgment. If you would do the same thing on Thursday as you went on Shabbos, that's a sakana, and you do whatever is necessary. Okay, so be clear that if you think, meaning a doctor can tell you, you know, you don't think it's a sakana, but it really is, and then, okay, now you know it's a sakana and you treat it appropriately. But if you think it is, even if you get to the emergency room, they're like, oh, come on, he just had, you know, was tired, he's narcoleptic, I don't know. He fell asleep, like, but I was really concerned, I would have done the same thing during the week, then on Shabbos to do the same thing, because the Shulchan Aruch was given to everybody to make that decision.
So when doctors do, like, way over the required tests, like they give you a CAT scan, they give you all these different things in order to cover their own bases for insurance purposes, is that considered a violation of Shabbat?
So we'll talk about defensive medicine. It's called defensive medicine. Okay. So we'll talk about defensive medicine and whether it makes sense or not. Sometimes, yeah, there's not going to be a rule. Sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes there are, like, weirder cases, which, so let's say a person needs stitches, and I could do more stitches, it'll make it look nicer. I could do fewer stitches, and it'll make them healthy. So what about that? That's a little clearer, right? I mean, sometimes, if you're doing a test just to, like, not pay, not to have your insurance not sue you, so that might be worse. There's going to be a lot of gray areas, so we'll talk about all of these issues. We'll talk a lot about Shabbos, okay? So today's Wednesday, we'll meet again Monday. Please think about grading schemes, otherwise I will, and then decide for you. But I'm open to feedback and seeing what you think. All right. So have a good Shabbos.